Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. We'll start with a few announcements. This is an audio-only lesson, so you don't get to see my beautiful face on this lesson. I know that's breaking you up. I know that's causing you tremendous heartburn. But your slacker pastor didn't get the slides to Debbie Kramer in time, so we're doing audio only. So a few announcements to start. Happy birthday to Deanna Perkoski, who has a birthday on January 2nd. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration, January 14th. And let me be the first to say Happy New Year. And then mark your calendars. Homecoming for the non-resident congregation, April 27th to 29th. Coming is not optional. Please come. And get your flights now while they're inexpensive, if you would. We'll be joined for the weekend by Pastor John Farley of Lighthouse Bible Church of Florida. And a new home for Barah Ministries, we're targeting January 8th, 2021. So please pray for us as we embark on this important journey. Pray that it's God's energy and not ours that builds this facility, and that he gives us the resources and the people to make this successful. So those are the announcements for December 31st, 2017. So at Barah Ministries, our God is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but instead the Lord is patient towards you unbelievers, not wishing for any of you to perish in the lake of fire, but for all of you to come to repentance, which is a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we know that this verse applies to unbelievers, but it is also not God's will that believers perish. And as believers in Christ, we're not worried about the lake of fire, because it's impossible for believers in Christ to go to the lake of fire. But we perish. We suffer small and painful little deaths through the misuse of our will, through sin. And in today's lesson, we'll wrap up the year with a reminder that in God's plan for you, character matters. We're going to be talking about character matters. So today's Bible lesson, character matters. Now let's begin with a song that reminds you that God's love for you is unconditional. Here's June Murphy to sing, "When I Say I Love You."
No.
Almighty God and Father, thank you for allowing me to have another year of teaching truth. And thank you for the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher and for instilling a burning desire and a heated passion in me to provide the Word of God from this pulpit as often as I can. And thank you for the hearers you provide, this loyal group of people, both resident and non-resident, who are as passionate about spiritual growth as I am. Bless them and keep them healthy. Illuminate their spiritual gifts and keep on giving them the adversity that shapes their character. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's Bible lesson, Character Matters. Character Matters. 60 lessons were posted from this pulpit in 2017, and I am proud of these lessons. I grew quite a bit spiritually from writing the lessons, and I'm certain those of you who make Barah Ministries a regular part of your daily routine are growing from the lessons as well. In our conversations, your spiritual growth is obvious to me. Your thinking that is reflected in our discussions, the experiences God is giving you to shape you, are fun to listen to, fun to hear about, and you make teaching worth it to me. As I reflect on the year and on Christianity in general, one of the confounding things about Christians is how happy we are just to get by. We are on victorious ground as Christians. We are saints, priests, absolutely righteous ones, in union with Christ, justified, redeemed, reconciled, expiated, atoned for, ambassadors for Christ in Satan's kingdom. Adopted adult children of the living God, heirs, holy and blameless in the eyes of God, in union with Christ, indwelled by the entire Trinity. Yet many of us still live defeated lives. We are winners in the creator-creature conflict, yet we live as if we're losers. We are eternally successful, yet we think like failures. In fact, we obsess with failures. We act like spiritual cripples, and that's out of character for a believer in Christ. Instead of walking with our heads held high, pressing on to the mark for the upward call of God the Father, for those in union with Christ Jesus, we walk as if we are lame. We have divine solutions for every human problem, yet we seek the advice of the world to solve our problems and wonder why we feel powerless. In God's plan, character matters. I've been thinking about this all year, and I hope you'll indulge me as I share a few closing thoughts for the year. What are some of the things you would be doing if you were living life God's way? All of us have an attitude toward Christ and an attitude toward Christianity, whether atheist or agnostic or religious or believer. With more than 6 decades of both observing and participating in life, it seems to me that human life is a journey. The journey occurs on a path. It has a start date, which is your birthday. It has an end date, the day of your physical death. And it has a lot of days in between. And the days in between are commonly referred to as the dash. If your birth date and your death date were on a tombstone, there's always a dash between the two dates, and that dash represents your life. Now, life is filled with circumstances. There's a period of time in your life when you are totally dependent, the years between your birth and age 12. There's a period of time in your life when you think you're independent and you're not, the years between ages 13 and 21. Most of those years typically called the teen years. And then at 21 years old, you are an adult, theoretically able to support yourself and defend for yourself. As the path of this temporal life winds to its destination, your physical death, there are several circumstances along the way. Now, perhaps one of the circumstances between your birth and age 12 is that you're bullied at school. Every morning you wake up, you dread going to school because you know as soon as you hit campus, there's a bully there who will both humiliate you and take your lunch money. The bully problem doesn't go away until you handle it, and the bully problem is designed to teach you a lesson. Perhaps one of the circumstances between ages 13 and 21 is that you feel tremendously self-conscious. You imagine in your mind that everyone's looking at you all the time, observing you, in fact, scrutinizing your life, and that everyone is overly critical of you. Being a person who wants to be liked, it's hurtful for you to think that some may not like you, and you obsess with ways you can change yourself to be more acceptable to the crowd of critics. The self-consciousness problem doesn't go away until you handle it, and the self-conscious problem is designed to teach you a lesson. Perhaps one of the circumstances of adulthood is that early into it, you learn of your own mortality. You become ill, and you have to turn your fate over to experts in the healthcare system who will run a series of tests on complex and expensive machines to let you know your physical malady. It's cancer, a blood disorder called leukemia. Nowhere in your wildest dreams, and only perhaps in your deepest fears, did you suspect that 23 years into the journey along the path of life, you would run into a health challenge that threatened the length of your journey. It seems so unfair when those of similar age are experiencing different challenges that are not life-threatening. The health problem doesn't go away until you handle it, and the health problem is designed to teach you a lesson. Surrounding the path is an environment that is constantly sending you messages about the best way to travel your path. The messages are designed to create dissatisfaction within yourself and dissatisfaction with the way you do things, and then to offer you a solution. Well, many times you've doubted yourself because of the environment's input. You've felt inferior and you've decided to try the proposed solution. And each time the solution has failed to fulfill its promise. It has wasted your time and your money while failing to deliver what it promises. You're actually worse off after trying the solution. The failures don't stop you from listening to the environment, though, again and again. Along the path of your life, there's a series of lights. And whenever you're offered a solution, you can always hold it under the light. And when you do, you can see the flaws in the proposed solution. And when you notice something is flawed, you're wise to reject it. For example, an over-ripened peach may not be the best selection if you're hungry for fruit. The skin falls off, it's soft, apparently rotten blotches on the fruit. You're most often wise enough to reject such fruit. You are not wise when you accept something that's obviously flawed and attempt to make it work. A rotten peach is not tasty, and there's little we can do to make it tasty. To make a long story short, the path that is our life is filled with circumstances. The path that is our life is conducted in an environment, and we have choices along the path. Sometimes we choose to travel the path in the dark. Sometimes we choose to travel the path in the light. It would make logical sense that if we had a choice, we'd much rather travel in the light than in the darkness. Yet no one has ever accused human beings of being logical. We are emotional beings, and we do things for emotional reasons, even when we want to live in the deception that we have made an emotional decision for logical reasons. God offers us trials along the path of life, circumstances designed to instruct. God places us in an environment, a system of negative influences with deceptions designed to instruct. That's Satan's kingdom. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is there along every step of the journey, omnipresent, encouraging us to follow the instructions of his light. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And when we do, we have character. When we don't, we are a character. Character matters. Character matters especially to God. Well, what is character? Character is a collection of choices that reveal a person's inclination for handling life's journey. And the cool thing about character is everybody can see it. You know, we all have character, but more of us are just characters. A part of my character is work ethic. I am willing to invest the amount of hours it takes in thought and in action to achieve a result. When you observe me in action, you should see this approach reflected in my person. Another part of my character is loyalty. I am willing to remain steadfast in my commitment to others, even when it hurts me, and even when it makes me look like a fool. When you observe me in action, you should see this approach reflected in my person. A third part of my character is other focus. I am willing to serve others before I serve myself, even when it's not the smartest choice. When you observe me in action, you should see this approach reflected in my person. Well, what will we see when we look at you that reveals your character? Of course, there are choices I make and things I value that are not reflective of my character. If you knew what those things are, you'd say, you know, that's out of character for him. For example, if I were to be totally selfish about a thing with a complete disregard for how it affected others, that would be out of character for me. I've kind of grown out of that malady that plagued my life in earlier years. So if you're being honest, what do your choices reveal about your character? Most of the definitions of the word character contain the word morality. I don't think morality is a high enough standard. Morality is the standard of right versus wrong. God calls us believers in Christ to a higher standard, to his standard, freedom. And in God's standard, there's only one way to do a thing. In the opening lesson for 2017, I called you to a standard. I asked you to let this be the year you do things God's way. The Lord has been kind enough to invite me to this journey. The least I can do is honor his way. As 2017 closes, I invite you to reflect on how well you lived God's standard this year. And I invite you to a closer walk with God in 2018, so that you are among the few people who reflect his character and nature to a lost and dying world. We close this lesson, as we always do, by reminding anyone who is listening who does not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that God wants you. And it's an invitation to make the most important decision of your life. There's only one way to get to heaven. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Thomas, the doubting apostle, "I am the way," and he meant to salvation. "I am the truth," and he meant the word of God. "And I am the resurrection life. eternal life, the Zoe life, as the Greek says it. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. In John chapter 3, verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ himself gives instruction on how to be saved to Nicodemus, a religious Pharisee. Beginning at verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a person is born again, which is the spiritual birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God the Father." John 3, 4. Nicodemus said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "How can a man be born again when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water of the word," the gospel message, "and unless one is born of the baptism by God the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." John 3, 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." In other words, that which comes from mortals is mortal. "And that which is born again of the baptism of God the Holy Spirit is spirit." John 3, 7. Nicodemus was pretty shocked that he had studied religion for 20 years and never knew this. And in John 3, 7, the Lord says to Nicodemus, "Don't be amazed, Nicodemus, that I, the Lord Jesus Christ, said to you, you must be born again." So if you want to be born again, if you want to move from spiritual death, which all of us come to earth with, to spiritual life, you can follow the Apostle Paul's advice in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. It says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." John chapter 3, verse 17 says, "God the Father did not send the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to judge the world, but God the Father sent the Son into the world that the world might be saved through union with him." Thank you, God the Father, for providing a single crystal clear way to get to heaven that requires no work on our part. We simply believe in your Son, and we are saved. We simply ask you a five-word request. "Father, I believe in Christ." That's the moment of eternal life for us. Or like the thief did on the cross as he was crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ, a nine-word request. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to the thief, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." We're inviting you to be with all of us believers in Christ in paradise. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just believe in him and you will be saved. Now, the closing song, sung from God's perspective, "I Am Beautiful," June Murphy.
But never beyond the healing power of God. I've been rejected, been abandoned too, but none of this changes God's point of view. His prized possession, the apple of his eye. When he looks at me, he is filled with pride. To him I am special, I am his very opinion, nor what others see. Changes the fact that I truly love me. Jesus lives within me. I reflect his might. Yes, it shines right through me, and I am his delight. I am beautiful. I see myself as beautiful. The eyes of my soul can see.
Song. And I guess it wasn't sung from God's perspective. I guess I blew that, but I've been known to make mistakes. Great song, though. I am beautiful. You are beautiful. Don't forget that. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for a great year. And thank you for being with us every step of the way. And thank you for the plan that you put in place in eternity past, that laid out a series of things that we could walk in. Give us the courage to let the Word of God illuminate in our souls what those things are and to follow the path that you've laid out for us, knowing that you are the planner and you are the one who has a plan and you know what the perfect destiny is for us. And you've already given it to us. We just need to open our eyes and see it. And we ask that you give us continued enlightenment through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. No, thanks for listening. No watching. This is audio only. And we'll see you in the new year.